you're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, Simon Fraser Campus Radio.
Would you give me a beat?
CJSF 90.1 FM is the campus radio station for Simon Fraser University, located on Burnaby Mountain in BC, Canada. CJSF 90.1 FM, diverse, independent, yours. Check us out on SoundCloud or at cjsf.ca.
Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And my name is Sebastian.
And later on this episode, we will be having a very quick interview with the Inside Out Film Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And
the whole festival, everyone?
Yes, as I was saying, a little later on, we will be joined by Jeff from the Inside Out Film Festival as we discuss a great new initiative by the... I don't know why I turned into the tiger that does the cereal there. It was great. But no, we'll be talking about how they are making festival passes available to youth 25 and under for free. Which is really the best price, I think.
Yes. Yes. Or coffee. I was going to say tokens. What's the word I'm looking for? Coffee cards, gift cards. That's it. Gift cards for coffee. That would be my favorite price. Just I show up and you hand me a free coffee. That's, you know, then it's like negative, really.
You know? you want people to pay you in coffee.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
I love it. All right, it's been quite a bit of a week. You know, I think normally we start in Canada, but I kind of want to start with Russia. Right, okay. Now. And the reason being, you know, there was, when you're not in the middle of a war zone where children are being kidnapped and shipped all over the warring nation where mm-hmm. you're not being blown up by munitions, and any slight buzzing sound you fear is a drone that could end your days, you know, the water, electricity, all of these things. When you're not in the middle of that, it's actually quite hard to get a sense of what's really happening in Russia and the Ukraine. But yep. We have been following Russian news. Now, a little while ago, the Russian government introduced even stricter anti-gay laws in the country. It has been quite, it's, you know, you didn't think it'd get any stricter. To give you an idea of how strict it is in Russia right now, we have a few examples of recent, last month or two, court cases in Russia. And the one that got a lot of press attention is there was a woman who had some lovely earrings. I don't know. They were kind of kitsch for me, but she had this earring. It's like little dollar size, the size of a dollar, little frogs that were rainbow colored. You know, bit of a fun bling earrings, you know, just good times. No, not in Russia. No fun earrings in Russia. You will not be allowed fun frog rainbow earrings in Russia.
Now, this is the thing that always kills me. The number of times where I've seen something has a rainbow on it, and then you hear, you know, people overreact to it. They go, oh, it's gay propaganda. And then you look at it, you're like, that's an eight-colored rainbow. And, you know, not to get overly pragmatic about it, but the six-color rainbow is the pride flag. And then the eight-color rainbow is God's promise to not flood the earth again. Like they're slightly different rainbows, and even then, like the Rainbow Coalition, the sort of integrationist movement from the 70s. I think they used a 9-color rainbow. Like there's different rainbows out there. The thing is, like, you know, it famously a rainbow, you can cut the pie a dozen different ways and you can get your full Roy G. Biv, or you know, you can tuck in different colors. Are you gonna include different shades of green in there? Like, I don't know. It's, you know, different people do cut up rainbows in different ways. So that whenever I see something that's just sort of like generically rainbow, I just see that as being a color palette. I don't even see that as being a political symbol. It's so weird that things like this, that people jump on them. Like if it was a frog that was holding a red fan and it had the 5-color rainbows on it, the 6-color rainbow from top to bottom, then I'd say, well, you know, maybe that's some kind of like San Francisco, you know, Polk Street frog of some kind. But like, if it's just a frog that's multicolored, like, I'm sorry, but there are multicolored frogs out there in nature. That's just weird. That's weird to jump on that. I don't know.
Absolutely. Well, it gets even worse. Like I said, there was one lady who was...
Was she fined? Jail time? Like, what? Fined?
Okay. It was a fine, yeah. Then another man made the, crime against humanity, mm-hmm, of posting an image of a rainbow flag on social media. Okay. Also had to plead his case before the court. Also faced a fine. In fact, just this week, they attempted, an attempt here is really the operative word, attempted to host a My Little Pony conference. And they even edited the pony's mane to be the Russian colors. But no, My Little Pony conference in Moscow was raided by federal police, okay, and federal agents because it was too gay.
Too gay, got it.
Yeah,
got it.
Duolingo, the famous threatening owl-themed app,
yes,
language learning app, has also run afoul of the Russian government. And that is because they have several random learning lines like, I do not like this German actress, and these films are quite good. I'm on the film section of Duolingo by now. But no, they have some storylines that, heaven forbid, feature two characters of the same animated sex. Now, don't forget that animated characters do not have genitalia, but Duolingo's characters have gay storylines, and they are also facing fines. So, rainbow frog earrings, posting a rainbow to social media, or learning a different language on Duolingo, or even just going to a convention for My Little Pony. All of these are grievous crimes under Russian rule at the moment.
It's so weird. It's so bizarre how heavy-handed they're going with this. Because there was a real, I don't know, this really is an instance of a slippery slope that actually did turn out to be a slippery slope and not just a fallacy, where, you know, a few years ago they were saying, you know, if you are an LGBTQI+, political activist, then you couldn't demonstrate publicly. Then it was you couldn't demonstrate publicly in promotion of LGBT issues. Then you couldn't do anything unless it was in private. Then you couldn't do this. Then you, and it just, it was like the noose was slowly tightening. And it started off pretty broad, like you couldn't be engaged in political activity, you couldn't be a not-for-profit, you couldn't be a formal organization, you know, you wouldn't be able to rent office space as a queer activism group. And it just sort of like it went downhill pretty fast. They really slid. And it wasn't even that long ago that they started this. It was like 4 years ago, 5 years ago that I think that it started.
I mean, but okay, there was another story here. A 19 and 24-year-old woman, both women, were in a pizzeria, and they had a small kiss at the end of their pizza. Just think romantic. You know, it's lovely. It's pizza. Mm-hmm. Who doesn't like a romantic pizza in the Russian winter? But they were then literally hunted down by Russian agents and Russian police officers for this horrific crime of kissing in a pizzeria. And then I believe they were also fined more than the equivalent of $3,000 for that offense. Now, what this means is, how can you be gay in Russia or in Russian-occupied territories of the Ukraine. You know what I mean? If you can't have rainbow frog earrings or dare to acknowledge your loved one in public, you know, the silencing of that, the impact it has on people.
Yeah.
Really, it's that it's, you know, these might seem like trivial cases, but it's really about cracking down and not just forcing people into the closet. It's you're in the closet by fine or by threat, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's a campaign of fear is really what it's about. It's about control through intimidation. They don't need to crack down on major events, because if they crack down on the little ones, then people become afraid of organizing big events. It is fully, I don't know. Russia has a history of this. If you're talking about the Bolsheviks, you're talking about Stalin, you know, you can go through the history books and read about propaganda and control in Eastern Europe. I don't know. I don't want to say it's par for the course, therefore shrug emoji. I don't think that's fair or compassionate even, but I don't know. They really do seem to be just using the old playbook on this one. And I don't mean that in a good way.
I do worry that, you know, what this means is if someone has a vendetta about you, if you have insulted your neighbor, if you have...
get all Salem witch trial-y about it.
Yeah, if you stiffed the cab driver, you know, and he happened to catch a glimpse of you holding someone's hand or being next to somebody. You know what I mean? It becomes very easy to... for people who are not scrupulous characters to leverage the law against them. So, yeah, I have very little sympathy or patience for Russia right now, particularly with one of the most draconian anti-gay laws in the world. Yeah, pretty grim stuff. Sticking to that part of the world for a moment, interesting news story from some Polish broadcasters, particularly the Sunday night broadcasters. The show is called The Independent, but obviously in Polish, not not English. Do you want to tell us a bit about what Wojciech Szyslak has said on that show?
Basically, they're sort of openly expressing regret for endorsing various... what they're calling hateful policies against LGBT people in Poland, basically saying that they really should have stayed out of the politics on that, that they regretted. I mean, I could be reading a quote here, but it'd be a translation of a quote anyway. But yeah, they're basically saying that LGBT people, it's not an ideology, but a people. And they spoke out against the people too much, and they really should have eased off on that. And there have been talks about that for a while, because we've been reading things in the background. Some of them weren't big enough to do a full story out of, but the anti-gay politics in Poland is not quite as clean cut as some of the reporting seems to show. That basically it was the party in power and some individual cities in Poland were pretty openly anti-gay. But most of Poland was either sort of indifferent and kind of a, they're not hurting anyone, so why are our tax dollars going towards enforcing anything? And some people, I don't want to say pro-gay, but you know, like gay sympathizing or LGBT sympathizing factions in Poland are actually pretty common as well. And it was just a matter of some of these broadcasters have said they sort of regret being a mouthpiece to the standing government and sort of disseminating the language that the sitting government had on these issues.
It's worth mentioning that the Polish Law and Justice Party, which is headed up by Andrzej Duda, he famously said that the LGBTQ movement was not people, but an ideology. And that the ideology has to be fought. We've mentioned in the past that towns declared themselves LGBT free zones. Mm-hmm. No gays here. You are not welcome. Yeah. Which lasted about as long as when the EU money ran out, and then they promptly changed their minds. But this broadcaster's point about the fact that no. this isn't a war on an ideology. These are actual humans that we have wronged. When he made this apology, he was speaking directly to two LGBTQ activists. I'm going to apologize for my pronunciations here. Bart Starzewski and Maja Heban. And apologize directly to them as well. This seems like an actual genuine effort by the broadcasters to, you know, mea culpa and apologize for what they've done.
Mm-hmm.
Well, fun things happening in Eastern Europe. We are going to be jumping to our first track, and that is we're going to do Stained with Light by Dinah, Toronto-based artist, and we will be back just after this.
One by one, I watch them piss into the sun, saying, "Ooh, I win, now follow me." Sun, saying, "Ooh, I win, now follow me." My, oh my, is it your moment now to shine? Paint circles around your eyes, you holy.
Welcome back to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. I have abandoned Sebastian, but joining me instead is the membership and donor relations manager for the Inside Out Film Festival. Jeff, thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Now, we reached out to you folks because of an email that came to my attention, and that's about your new youth memberships. And for anyone under 25 who want to be listening here, it's a free membership.
It is. Yeah, it's a free youth membership for, and like you said, anyone under 25. It's a new membership level for us this year. And we created this to provide increased access to the festival for youth, in addition to the Youth Day screening we programmed during the festival.
Was there, did you feel, I mean, first of all, this is fantastic news. It's a great way of engaging the next generation in queer film and cinema.
That's right.
And the variety of perspectives available. Was this responding to a demand in the community for this?
I don't think it was responding to a demand, but our Youth Day program is such a popular day, and everyone who attends is always so enthusiastic, really loves our programming, really loves the day in general. And I think your comment about, you know, providing access to the next generation of film festival goers is exactly why we created this membership level.
So for folks who maybe aren't familiar with Inside Out, we sort of dived right into it, but I'm just a huge fan of the festival.
Yeah.
I actually got to know you folks out of the festival in Ottawa. And of course, the one in Toronto is significantly larger. Those are your two in-person events. But folks all over Ontario can engage with the digital festival. Is that correct?
Yeah, when we have any digital programming, it's available to anyone Ontario-wide.
Excellent.
That's right.
And for, as I mentioned earlier, for our audience listening, what's sort of the mandate or the remit for Inside Out?
Right. So Inside Out is one of the largest 2S LGBTQ plus film festivals. We've been around for more than three decades, and we bring together the queer community in celebration of queer film in Canada and around the world. Our mandate is we challenge attitudes and change lives through the promotion, production, and exhibition of film made by and about the queer community.
I mean, I think we've talked to folks before and various sort of festival organizers, and it really jumps out at me during these festivals, the diversity of stories that get showcased. For example, I believe this week, the week of broadcast, I want to say Queen Tut is playing in Toronto as part of the ongoing festival. And, you know, that actually premiered, I want to say last year at the Ottawa Festival.
That's right.
How important is it, do you feel, for young folks listening to go out and engage and see these films?
Oh, I think it's very important. I mean, if I can speak from experience, I was a, you know, young gay boy growing up in rural Ontario. And if it wasn't for queer film, I would not have seen myself represented on screen. So it's important to engage with different people of the community, but it's also important to attend these screenings to see your community represented. And I think that's why queer film is so important.
I mean, well, we're seeing, and I'm sure our listeners are probably getting a sense of, wow, there's somebody gay on every movie or TV show now. Like, it maybe, you know, it seems far more ubiquitous than ever before. You know, surely, you know, is there still a need for a dedicated festival and you know, these films? You know, what kind of representation are we talking about at the Inside Out Festival?
Well, I mean, it's really in our 2S LGBTQ plus acronym that we have in our title. We show films from the two-spirited community, from the lesbian community, the trans community, queer community. There's a lot of gay content as well. There's also a lot of bisexual content as well. I think the need is very important. I think that it's very important for people, especially youth, who are, you know, figuring themselves out at this time, especially at this time, to see themselves on screen. And also to come to a place like Inside Out that welcomes these stories, that welcomes these different perspectives. And I think it's really important for youth to be involved in this festival in particular.
Now, the Inside Out Festival, the one in Toronto, is still a little ways away. We're talking the May 2-4 weekend through to June 1st.
That's right.
You know, it's lots of time to plan ahead. For folks in Ontario, it'll be online as well. But I wanted to just mention to our listeners, especially folks under 25 who are listening, the youth membership comes with a complimentary festival ticket. What kind of access do you get with a festival ticket?
Yeah, so why don't I just like break down the benefits for you? Sure. You get one free regular screening ticket, and you're able to redeem that ticket for any regular screening. So that could be a shorts program, that could be something throughout the week. It could be, yeah, so anything that's in our festival that's considered a regular screening, youth have access to that. Youth also get access to the Youth Day screening and our Youth Day events on that day. They get a 10% discount on any additional festival tickets and any festival merchandise that we have. They get early access to the festival program and tickets. They get exclusive event access during the festival. And then any year-round programming that we do with Toronto Partner Festivals, our members are the first to know and are the first to access tickets.
Excellent. Now, this show is syndicated nationwide, and there's festivals in Vancouver, Montreal. You know, a lot of the urban major urban centers have queer film festivals of some sort. But I think the reason why I wanted to reach out to you today is because this is the first time that I've seen a festival of your size offering the free youth tickets. Now, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong here, I believe Inside Out is either a nonprofit or a charity. So yes. Is this initiative just part of your mission, or has it been funded by somebody?
RBC is our major funder for us. And RBC does sponsor our Youth Day programming and our day. It's just something that we wanted to create to provide access to for youth and for the next generation of that film festival goer.
Excellent. Well, I know that myself. It's not just the films, which, you know, I, what was it? A couple of years ago, we went and we saw, Mexican wrestlers, a bisexual lady who was a Mexican wrestler. That was a film that we saw. It was just incredible. And we saw a documentary about the LGBT purge in the Canadian Armed Forces. You know, it's the kind of content that is unlikely to necessarily glaze the screens of your Netflix or Disney subscription. And it, you know, and I think that's incredible. I really strongly recommend everybody go make a day of it, wrangle together your group of under 25 year old friends, assuming you're also under 25, and go and check out these incredible, incredible films. But more importantly, and I'm sure you can speak to this as well, when we went to the festival, myself and Sebastian, to cover it, it's the environment, it's the event of it all, it's the atmosphere in the theater and around the theater. You know, it's that community element that I think is incredibly important as well. What kind of role do you think that plays in terms of welcoming these young folks who might want to, maybe for the first time, go and see a film?
Well, you know, I have to agree, like the energy in the festival, the energy in the, like in our lobbies, in our event spaces, in our cinemas is, there's nothing like it. And I think that attending an Inside Out festival, queer festival, as you are beginning, you know, your journey of self-discovery is so important because you're surrounded by members of the community that you want to be a part of and you instantly relate. And I think that that makes people feel really good. That makes people feel really welcome. And it's also a safe space that they can be whoever they want. They can think however they want. They can love whoever they want. And I think it's just such a positive, positive atmosphere. And I'm grateful to be a part of it.
You know, for me, it makes me think of the fact that, you know, in today's world, We are very siloed. Everyone seems sort of diametrically opposed. There's a lot of rife. But when you go, if you're under 25 and you find a film that you like, you can be guaranteed that you and everybody else there will have at least one thing in common, and that's that you wanted to go and watch this film.